Okay, we're going to start Sefiras Poylim. Now, what we're going to be dealing with primarily over the next few weeks is everyone's favorite topic, is firing workers, quitting, when you do have the right to, when you don't have the right to, and what are the penalties if a person either walks off a job when he shouldn't, or if you fire someone when you don't really have the right to do that. So we're going to start off with the Gemara in Haseichus Omnin. What the Mishnah says is, that Haseichus Omnin, if you hire a worker, Vitu Zeza, and they fool each other. And this you don't have. I'm just going to read one line from the Mishnah. There's no recourse. They don't have to pay anything. But you have tarumas. You can have complaints against them. Now the Gemara goes... Vitu Zeza. Now the Gemara, Hitu is a very vague language. And the Gemara for an arm and a half struggles. What does it mean, Hitu Zeza? And what we're going to do now is we're going to stay over the Gemara's final answer. So we're going to start with Haitano. If you have it, it's about 10 lines down from the top. Haitano Chazru Nami. About 10 lines down. See the little Dalet?
Yep.
Haitano, the Tano of the Mishnah, Chazru Nami Hitu Karile. When it says that they were Hitu, that means they backed out. You hired a worker, he told you he's going to do the job, and he backed out. Calls you back later, I changed my mind, I'm not showing up, go find someone else. Or the reverse case, you offered someone a job, he's very excited, okay, he's going to come in on Monday. You call him up before he shows up, he says, you know what, I changed my mind, I'm retracting the offer. In such a case, where you made the offer and then you retracted it, the halacha is, you have the right to do that. There's never a kinyan, there's no contract, you didn't pay, you didn't start the work. But you have tarumis. He has the right to have complaints against you. He has tainus. Tarumis, there's nothing that a bezdin can do. But it means is you did something wrong to him. So do something wrong to someone, he has the right to be upset at you, he has the right to have complaint against you.
It's legitimate.
You have to ask him. Exactly. You know, as Rousseau Saranto points out from here, that the halacha is a tarumis. You can't just get angry at your neighbor because you an imagined insult. In this case, the Mishnah is saying it's legitimate, you have the right to be upset at him. You have to be angry, he did something wrong to you. But more than that, there's nothing else more than that. There's no, Bezdin won't do anything, there's no chiyuv, he doesn't have to pay you. It just means you've done something wrong because you offered him the job and then you retracted it. Or in the flip case, he agreed to do a job and now he changed his mind on you and he left you high and dry. Titania, that we learned in the Braisa, Hasechros Omnin, you hire a worker, Vihitu as Ba'abayis, and you fool the Ba'abayis, which means a worker accepted a job, he said he would do it, and then he changed his mind, he said, I'm not showing up, I'm not doing the job for you. Oi, Ba'abayis Hitu a son, or the Ba'abayis, the employer, offered them a job, and then changed his mind, he retracted. Ein lehem ze'alzeh, they don't have on each other, elo tarumas, they only have complaints, nothing more than that. There's no dine momenos involved. But now the Rais is going to say, he's going to qualify this statement. When do we say that either party of an employment contract can back out and there are no penalties? That's only shaloi holku. The workers didn't show up yet. You retracted the job offer before they showed up to work. Avol holchu chamorim. If the donkey drivers went v'loy matzu tvo, they didn't fly. They were. So you hired someone a delivery service to go pick up some goods and transport it. The trucker shows up, and the goods aren't there.
You call a taxi, and they're not there.
Exactly. You call a taxi. He shows up. No one's there. You hire workers to work on a field. You get to the field and it's all waterlogged. There's nothing you can do. You can't plant. You can't plow. It's not workable. So in that case, you hire them. They showed up to work, and then when they show up, you tell them, by the way, I'm sorry. The goods are gone. The field is waterlogged. There's nothing for you to do. Go back home. In that case, noisin lehem scharam yishalem. There you have to pay them. Once they showed up at the job, they're entitled to be paid. Now, as we're going to see, there's a machlokes why you have to pay them. One shot is, and this is really the what most places can hold halacha, is that we know there's a concept of a kenyan. Yeah, you want to buy a car, so once you take possession of the car, it's yours. And once you make a kenyan, you can't back out. Your car is yours. A house, there's also this kesef, ishtar, chazakai, everything that you want to buy, there are different ways to make a kenyan on. How do you buy a worker? You do hagbah, you pick him up, you do mashicha, you pull him. How do you buy a worker? So what many Rishonim say, the way to buy a worker, the way to make a kinyan on a job, is haskalos malacha. Once he starts the job, the kinyan, the deal is final, it's done, and nobody can back out. And therefore, once he shows up to work, he doesn't have to actually start working. Just the fact that he traveled and he showed up, that's enough. There's a kinyan. Once there's a kinyan, everyone's locked into the deal. And now, if you tell him, oh, by the way, I'm sorry, but another trucker came along and I gave him the business. So, very nice. But since you hired me, we made a kinyan, I showed up already. Therefore, you have to pay me my salary.
Does the word mashami mean full?
I stopped. The next line is going to qualify how much you pay. I'll get to that in a minute. You're not going to pay the full amount, but that's... So that was the first shot. The first shot is that once you start the job, that's a kinyan, and therefore once it's a kinyan, everyone's locked in, and the employer has to pay, even if he doesn't give the fellow any work to do. The other shot is, and this is what Tosfos says, is you have to pay al garmi. This fellow had a job, or he was looking for a job, and he was knocking on doors. He's doing his tishtablus, and every day he does his work and he finds a job. The moment you told him, you know what, I have a job for you. Show up on Monday morning, and you're gonna truck this stuff for me, so that he stops looking for a job. Now that it's Monday morning at 9 o'clock, he's at your warehouse. You tell him to go home. What's he gonna do now? Can't find a job. It's too late. Therefore, you've caused him a loss, because he can no longer find a job. Since he can no longer find a job, you're a mazik, you're causing him a hefsid, and therefore you have to pay for that damage. Those are the two, that's Tosfos's pshat. You're paying, not because there's a kinyan, but you're paying for the damage that's caused.
About a poor economy where it's unlikely to...
According to Tosfos, let's say the person would not have had a job. He's been unemployed for the past 6 months. He gave up already. You go over to him, you felt bad for him. You told him, you know what, come to me, be at the warehouse at Monday morning 9 o'clock, and I have a job for you. So according to Tosfos, where the whole chiyuv is mazik, you're not a mazik with it. Because even had you not made this offer, you didn't lose a penny. So you'd be pasuk. According to the Rush, where once you start the job, that's a kinyan. So since he started the job, there's a kinyan, you can't back out. We don't look at the loss, we look at the kinyan, and therefore you'll have to pay. There's another fascinating nafkamina. Let's say this person's market value, normally he gets paid $200 a day for his labor. Now, for whatever reason it was, you offered him $300. Come, I need this work badly. Come to me on Monday. I'll pay you $300. He shows up, and then you tell him, "Listen, I'm sorry. I gave away the job." So, if the reason why you have to pay is because you're a mazik, you caused him to lose a job. So, how much did you cause him to lose? $200, because that's what he would have gotten without you. On the other hand, if your chiyuv is because there's a kinyan, he already started working for you. Once he starts working for you, so you can't back out. Then, since the arrangement was he gets paid $300 for this job, the mazik is the chiv is going to be $300. So it'll be a tremendous nafkamina between which pshat we're going to go with. The halacha, we're going to assume that really both of them are true. Haskalos malacha, once you start the job, that's a kinyan. There also will be a chiv of mazik, and we'll have to deal with, you know, why, when each one applies, but both of them are true in halacha. So now let's go. Let's continue to your point. How much do you pay these people? So halacha is avlo enu doima. It's not similar habata and someone who comes loaded. You know, someone who has to schlep all the packages. The barekon to someone who's traveling on a lighter load where he doesn't have to schlep. It's also not similar to someone who has to do work. Someone who's sitting at home and taking a vacation. In other words, it's true that once you show up at the job, I'm locked in, the employer's locked in, he can't fire you. But if he does fire you, how much does he pay you? So the offer was $300 to do this work. Now, in one sense, I made him lose $300, because had he had the job, he'd be $300 richer. On the other hand, he had a day off. He had a vacation. So how do we figure out what the damage is if you cause someone to lose a job? So what you do is like this. Let's say you have a job. You get paid $300 a day. And someone comes over to you and says, "Listen, I see you. You're overworked. You're stressed out. I want you to take a vacation. Here is $150. Stay home today." Would you take that or not? So everyone has their number. Everyone has their number. At some point, you know, if you're working for $300 a day, at some point for $250, most people aren't going to come in. Because for $50, they'd rather stay home. So we have to figure out what's called schar batala. How much this worker would take to have a vacation. Now the Taz says, Hashem Shuvas Rashi, that the number, 50% is the base number. Normal worker.
It works by day labor. If a guy has a steady job, then there's no number really, because he doesn't want to lose his job.
Well, you know, it means for one. This is for one day.
This is the day labor. This is it. Day by day.
No, or whatever job is on the table. You offered him a job for a day, so that means, what's it worth it for him to miss this one day of work? Now, the Taz gives a number of 50%. That's the base number. That whatever his salary is, a typical worker, if you paid him half for to take a vacation, to take a sabbatical, would do it. Now, most places can say that there's no hard fixed number. It depends, first of all, how much he's making. An attorney who's making a couple $100,000 a year would be much quicker to take a paid vacation than someone who's earning minimum wage. Because the guy who's earning minimum wage, you can give him, if you take off even 10%, he'll starve. So someone who's earning very little, the schar batala is going to be virtually the full amount because he can't afford to take a vacation and take a pay cut. Someone who's earning a lot more has more room. It's more worth it for him, more kedai for him to take off as long as he's getting paid a reasonable amount. We also have to look at the job. If someone is doing, you know, back-breaking, difficult work, then for him to take a vacation, he'd love to take a vacation. And even if you give him maybe 30 cents on the dollar, it's kedai to get out of this very hard labor. On the other hand, if someone loves his job, then he wants to come in anyway. You have plenty of workaholics who, you know, you look at them on Chol HaMoed and on Yom Tov, they go out of their minds. They have to get to work. So someone like that, that's Ulusun Dumachuza, it's brought down in the Gemara. Someone like that who gets weaker, it's painful for him to be at home, there it'll be the full amount. So it's somewhat subjective. You have to look at the person, you have to look at the type of industry, you have to look at the amount that he's getting paid, but you'll never pay the full amount. You have to figure out what his real loss is, and therefore you have to take into account the fact that he's not working. There was a child that came up. Someone sent their child to one of these clubs. They're paid a certain amount of money for 6 weeks of go, or 10 weeks, whatever it was, X amount of dollars, and going to the club.
You mean that they teach the kids something?
Yeah, like an after school, an extracurricular kind of thing, arts and crafts. I don't remember exactly what the details were. So after 2 weeks, the kid decided they had enough, and the lady didn't stop sending. The owner called up and said, listen, you owe me the money. You registered your child for this 10-week course, and you have to pay me the full amount. So in halacha, the owner was right. But now we have to figure out, how much do you pay? So for argument, let's assume the clubs were $150 for the 10-week session. So how much do you take off because you didn't show up to 8 sessions? Now in this case, the answer was 0. Why? Because the person who, there was an owner who ran this program. There were a bunch of different clubs that were offered. And she hired a teacher that she paid a flat amount to do the clubs. Now, who gets the money? The money was paid to the owner of the clubs. Does the owner care whether the teacher has 10 kids or 2 or 11 kids? It makes absolutely no difference. The teacher may prefer having fewer kids, but it makes no difference to the owner. So since the owner was the one who the money was owed to him, the owner, there's no schar batala. There's absolutely no benefit from the fact that the child wasn't there, so the schar batala would be the full amount. Even by a teacher, if you're teaching anyone, you have 10 kids or 11 kids, usually it won't make a difference. You know, you got to prepare the same amount. Unless this child is a terror, then you're not going to notice 10 or 11 doesn't make a difference how much work you have to do. But if it's a private tutor who now they have a day off, there you have to make an adjustment. You have to take off a significant amount because that reflects what the actual loss is.
Is Gemara going to discuss loss to the employer if the employee doesn't show?
That'll be next. That's the first halacha. When you hire someone and you back out before he begins, you only have tarumas. You can be upset, nothing more than that. Once he starts the job, you're locked in, you cannot fire him. And if you do fire him, you have to pay him until the end of the term. But we make this adjustment for the fact that he's not working, so we knock off a couple of dollars because to reflect the fact that he's getting a paid vacation. Now the Gemara continues. When do we say this halacha that if you fire him, you just pay him, you pay him for his schar batala? He didn't actually do a significant part of the work. There are different pshatim and how to read this. I'm just going to basically pick the easiest pshat, just for simplicity. Let's say you did half the job. Then we figure out how much it was worth. Which, what this means is like this. Let's say you hire someone to work a field or paint your house. The deal is you're paying him $1,000 to paint the house. He does half the job and then he quits. Or for that matter, he does half the job and then you fire him. So how do we figure out how much to pay him? So simply it should be he did half the job, he gets half the pay. Not so simple. Let's continue. Case out how Kiblu Kamalitzer, he accepts to harvest a field. Bishnei Salam, he's going to charge two salam for the whole field. Katsu Chetzio, he cuts half the field. Biniyah Chetzio, and he leaves the other half, and he walks off the job. Beged La'arag Bishnei Salam, you bring material to a tailor. He says he's going to weave a suit for you for two salam. Arag Chetzio. He weaves half of it and he leaves the other half. So the halacha is shamun lehen es masha asu. We assess the value of the work that he actually did. So haya yafa shisha dinarim. Let's say it's worth six dinarim. Six dinarim is a sela and a half. So if he did half the work, but for whatever the reason is, the price changed. It's worth the work. The value of the work that he did was 6 dinarim. Now that means two things. It means the value of the work they did was 6 dinarim, but it also means when he walks away, how much is it going to cost you to do the second half? Another 6 dinarim. Now it's going to cost you a sela and a half. So here the halacha is, noisen lehem sela a yigru mulachton v'yitlu shnei salam. The worker has a choice. Either you give him a sela, because he did half the job, he gets paid half. He gets paid for half. Or he finishes the work and he gets the two salam he's entitled to. So what's going to happen over here? It comes out that if a worker does half the job and then he quits, and now to finish the job is going to cost you more, the halacha is the employer loses out. A worker has the right to quit, and even though now it's going to cost more, it doesn't. He still has the right to walk away. It's the worker has yode al ha'olyon. Now what we're going to see again, this is going to be a machlokes, but the Gemara in Daf Yud says that a worker, you know, if you think about it, the way that we described it before, you buy a car. So the moment you make a kinyan on the car is yours, right? The buyer and seller are equally locked in. The deal is done. You rent a house. The moment you enter the house, there's a kinyan. So now the tenant can't just move out and say, I had enough. And a landlord can't evict him. It's a two-way street. When we're dealing with Hilchos Tiras Poelim, in many cases it is not a two-way street. And although once a worker starts a job, the employer cannot fire him, the halacha is a employee can usually walk off the job whenever he wants. And the reason for that is, the Pasuk says, it says, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. The Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael are avdei Hashem. So the Gemara learns out, they're avdei Hashem, v'loy eved l'avodim. They're not, you can't be a slave of a slave. In other words, a Yid is an eved Hashem. He is not allowed to have another master. If the halacha would be that when you hire a worker, he's locked in, you can force him to show up to work, he's a slave. The equivalent of an eved. And therefore, again, there were different pshatim exactly what the drasha is, but therefore, from the pasuk of Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, we learn that a worker has the right to walk off a job whenever he wants. And therefore, in many cases, we're going to see the employer, the boss, is locked in because he made a kinyan, he hired him. The worker can quit. because we don't want him to be an Eved.
You tell him that he has to be at work every day at 9 o'clock in the morning, and after five times, he has nothing. He's coming in at 9:15.
Oh, okay, wait, so that's a different
thing. It's not an Eved. You're an Eved, you're a slave till 9 o'clock. He wants you at 9 o'clock. So.
Wait, the halacha of Pili B'nei Avadim means that you can't force him to work. He has the right to quit. He can't keep his job and modify the terms. So you have every right to tell him, if you're not here at 9 o'clock, I'm going to fire you. I need you here at 9 o'clock. And if he doesn't show up, so he's not doing his part of the bargain, you don't have to do your part. Your job, your deal is, if he shows up at this time and does his work, he has a job. If he doesn't perform, you can fire him. The discussion over here is, let's say he decides he had enough. You hire him, he's working for you, he started the job already, he said, you know what, I don't want to work anymore. I want to go back to Koyalil. It was more Gishmak then.
Well, the training that you put into him and the teaching and getting him...
Okay, that's an excellent question. Wait a second. That's an excellent question. That's like this. As far as the contract, as far as the commitment that he made to work, there the Pasuk Filib in Yisrael Avodim tells us that if he wants to leave, he can leave. There will be halacha of Davar Avod, which we'll get to at the end of the Braisa, that let's say your accountant gives notice on April 14th. You know what? I had enough of this job. It's too stressful. That's a Davar Avod, because if you don't file by midnight, you're going to hit with penalties. There we're going to see this halacha doesn't apply. It means a normal worker, he's not causing anyone a loss. He just had enough. So you can't lock him in. You can't force him to continue working for you. Come on up. Because that's the halacha of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim. But if it's going to cause a loss, if it's, he's quitting on you without any notice and you need him, that's going to have different halacha. There he has a chiyuv to continue working.
Drunk commission would be, what a drunk commission if the guy did work for 6 months.
Right.
And training him, but
so that was his point. What happened then? So there's a Marik that has a similar case. You hired an apprentice. And you took the apprentice in for 3 years. And the deal was, you didn't pay him, or you paid him a minimum amount. You basically gave him, you know, food and board and shelter. And then he paid a minimal amount. And the deal basically was, you're going to teach him the trade. It's going to take you a year or 2 years to train him in. And he's going to stay by you until the end of 3 years. So really the calculation was, although if someone came over to you and said, I'd like to learn the trade, you would bill him, you wouldn't pay him. You wouldn't give him food. You charge him, you're teaching him the trade. But the deal was, come, I'm going to teach you the trade, and you're going to be with me for 3 years. So the last year basically will be my payment for the training and for the first 2 years. So what happened? The person comes, he learns the trade, and after 2.5 years, he passed out. He says, I found a better job.
Competition.
Right. The competition offered me that it's not just giving me room and board. He's willing to pay me a real salary. And he was out of there. So the teacher said, what are you talking about? The whole reason why I paid you from the beginning is only because, or I didn't charge you the teaching, is only because you're going to work for me for 6 months for free. Marik says, and Marik says, although you have the right to quit, because Kilib and Yisrael Avadim, you can back out, but you're going to have to pay the person for all that training. So what are you going to do? You're basically going to have to figure out what's the value of 6 months' work. Which means what? Which means, however much this competitor agreed to pay you, that's the value of the work. You're going to have to pay it to him because he should have had that value. Again, there are different tshuvas. There's actually a tzad you can maybe force him because it's a serious, but you know, for technical reasons, you may even be able to force the person to work, but let's not go there. But the basic halacha in Sefiras Poilim is that's how to look at such a case. We don't just look at the fact that, you know, for 2.5 years, this is the arrangement, for 6 months now, I'm quitting now. We have to look at the whole picture, and many jobs are like that. Many jobs, you hire a programmer. So everyone knows, the first 6 months, the programmer, you know, especially if they're just out of school, they're not productive. They're learning the ropes, they're learning the system, they're getting used to what it means to hold a real job and really program, and not just the academic stuff. But the calculation is, we'll pay you for 6 months, and once you learn the system, you'll be here by us for however long it'll be, and then it'll be worthwhile. So you run into these problems very often.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, I know, it comes up all the time.
Right. Now, Marik's case was a little better, because Marik's case, there was a package. They said, we're hiring you for this is a 3-year deal.
So there's a kinyan.
There was a kinyan, well, not necessarily a separate kinyan, but it was a package that we're going to teach you the trade, and you're going to work for 3 years. Normally, in an employment, you don't speak out. When you hire a programmer, it might be true, in the back of your mind, you're thinking to yourself, it's only worth it because I expect them to stay here. But you don't speak it out. That I'm giving you the job, it's only worth it for me if you're here for 3 years. So that's why, by a programmer, a typical case, this is not necessarily a winning argument.
In the Gemara's case, was there a kinyan that you will work here 3 years?
In the Gemara's case,
like today, we don't really, there's just maybe an expectation, but.
Right. So in the Gemara's case, we're not talking about a separate kinyan. We're talking about his silver malacha. But what happened is, I said, I'm hiring you, the Gemara's telling the day laborers, or I'm hiring you to harvest this field. So the moment you start the job, that is considered a kinyan, and you can't quit or you can't fire me until I finish harvesting the field. It's a defined job. This is what you have to do. Once it begins, once it's starting, everyone's locked in and can't just back out until the job is done. And if they do, they're going to have to pay. Today, we usually don't have that. Today, very often we hire people. You just put them on a salary, and you don't really discuss how long they're hired for.
See, for certain things, like for example, just two examples. I was for a while a consultant. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, was I sure of something? No. I would have a thing in my contract that I had to give X amount of notice.
Okay.
So that was one. And, you know, so that was private. And if I didn't, that was a penalty. That was not. And this goes back way to my sister, when she was married, she went to work for a free dentist. He was going to train her as a dental assistant. And he said, look, I don't want to prevent people from getting married, but you have to tell me that you're not going to get married within a year and move out of the neighborhood. No, you got to stay with me for a year.
I had, when I signed on years and years ago, the firm had me sign, to leave before X number of years. If you fail out and you're just not good for the business, fine. But if you go to a competitor, you've got to pay X number of dollars.
Oh,
$100,000, $70,000, whatever it was.
Right.
That was a contract.
Right. That's a non-compete. Now, a non-compete clause in halacha is not so simple. Because it's a kinyan dvarim. But in this case, where there's a chasam sofer that says, you have every right, you can make up with him, that if you leave and go to a competitor, that I'm sending you a bill for the training. And we make up in advance, my training is worth $100,000, and you agree to it. That's the best way in halacha to create a non-compete. Because it's true. You're providing a service. You're only agreeing to do it for free if he either stays with you or leaves the business. But to take my training and to use it against me at a competitor, you got to pay me.
It's not training unless he's been in this for 10 years.
So then this won't apply. Then there's no such thing. Step up. I'm trying not to scream. I have a lot of talking to do today.
Okay, fine. It's not the shirt.
Save this. No, this is just the preparation.
Okay.
Okay, do you need the Maramakai Mist to have one? Okay.
Yeah,
next one?
Yeah, I'll just work it in this case. Right, sure. I'm signing up beforehand where it's not training.
Where it's not training, this Chassam Sefer won't apply because you're not training. You're not providing any value. You could, in theory, make a penalty. Just make up that if you leave, you're going to pay me $100,000.
Yeah.
That's an Esmachta. That's not good. If I make up with you, if you leave, I'm going to pay you you have to pay me $100,000. So if you go, if I'm training you in, that's not an asmachta. I'm providing a service. I'm willing to do it for free if you work for me for X amount of years. That's the pay. You're going to pay me for the training by working for 3 years. If you leave, you can do that, but then you have to pay me the value of my services. That's not an asmachta. That's perfectly fine in halacha. If there's no training, you could just make up a penalty. A penalty would be an asmachta. So you would have to write in this contract, you know, the like asmachta, there was a kinyan, a bez and chashev, you have to address the asmachta issue. But if it's training, then in the halacha, it's perfectly fine. You're billing for the training.
There's a really non-compete. So let's just say I have a non-compete for somebody else.
Right.
And if I do go to the competitor,
right,
or whatever, it's going to cost some money. Bada. Because let's just give my sister how you're looking. I was, the company I was with, we had a contract with this company, and we were doing this function. He basically lost his contract, so I had to find another job. So, Doctor, who do I hook up with? I hook up with that client. They're going to hire me as a
Indirect, they cut out the middleman.
They're cutting out the middleman.
Okay. Now, as you were working for a consulting company, they fired the consultant. They wanted to hire you as an employee.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So the guy from the consulting guy, he's hired a bell. You know, he says if somebody else would take the job instead of you, they would need me for another 2-3 months. So you are gonna, you know, hit the ground running. And basically, we worked out for sure. Very, you know, as Chicken said, we almost came to your best.
You're much better off working at Pshara yourself.
I know, I know. So that was what the dying for your best told us. The meal wise, he was very happy when we were at Pshara.
Okay, good. Baruch, Pshara is always the best. To work out a negotiated settlement is definitely the best.
It was still good friends.
Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. But so anyway, so going back, so that's why in halacha we're going to see the employee usually has the upper hand. So with this halacha, the Tanakhama holds that if you hire a worker, he does half the job. So if half the job is worth half the value, you pay and he quits, you pay him half. There's no shaila. Even if it's going to cost you more to complete the job, Tanakhama says it doesn't matter. A worker is allowed to walk off without any penalty. If he did half the job, he's entitled to half the pay. And the employer's going to end up losing. They end up having to pay more to find someone to step into his shoes and to complete the job.
This is also talking about a kaplan.
Yes, this is actually, according to Rashi, this is only talking about a kaplan. We just did a switch, and that's why I'm being a little bit careful with what I'm saying. You know, we're going to have to discuss this, you know, at length in this year, when, you know, where to draw the line. But let me just finish. This is just a kind of, it's a machlokes. We're not gonna pass like this. Rav Dozi says nothing doing. If a kablin quits in middle, the halacha is then it's yaday al tachtoina. The employer's never gonna lose. We wonder if the person walks out, he paints half your house and he walks off the job. We if he wants to get paid, we have to look how much it'll cost to finish the job. If it's going to cost you 6 dinarim to finish the job, originally you offered to pay him 8 dinarim for the whole job. He does half, but now to find someone to step into his shoes is going to cost 6. So Poyer says, I want to get paid half because I did half, I painted half the house. The employer says nothing doing. Since it's going to cost me another 6 to finish, I'm only going to pay you 2. So either finish the job and I'll give you all 8, or if you're walking out halfway, I'm only giving you 2 because I don't have to lose money because you quit the job in the middle. Either I pay you a shekel, which is 2 dinarim, or finish the job. The employer doesn't have to take a loss. The msela, if it's worth half, he pays half. So Rav Dosa says that by a kavlin, when you hire a contractor and he quits in middle, we don't just look at how much work he did, we look at how much it will cost to complete it. And the employer, we make sure the employer, at the end of the day, when he hires a replacement, will not end up paying between the two of them more than the original contract price. Now, as you pointed out, this is a kabbalah. This is a contract. This is someone who is an independent contractor. An employee who's working by the hour, the halacha is not like this. An employee who's working by the hour, you always pay him per hour. And even though now, for some reason, you're going to have to hire someone, you have to spend more, the price went up, or the new person is going to take longer to figure out the job, we don't care. Because a payol has more. King Ben Yisrael Avod implies them more. Again, different kinds of buttons. We'll get to it in this year. But an hourly worker is always entitled to the hourly wages he was promised, even though now it'll cost you more to finish the job.
Is there a time limit as to when you say he walked off the job? Because the contractor always knocks apart your house and then moves on to the next job.
Right.
Lose the old job. So at what point do you say he walked off the job?
That's a good question. The Kineger says that by a contractor, you know, a poil is very easy. You hire him 9 to 5. You hire him, come to my house at 9 o'clock, and these are the hours of your job. So if he doesn't show up in these hours, he's not working when he's breaching his commitments. A cobbling on the contract, you just give him a task to do. Take care of my tax forms. So he decides when to do it. If he wants to do it at midnight, he does it at midnight. He wants to do it during the day. He chooses his own hours. In these cases, Kideger says that just because he delays is not a reason to fire him. Now, at some point, everyone agrees that it gets ridiculous. At some point where it's clear the person needs the job done and this is beyond the pale of reason, you will be able to. But it very much depends on the industry. You know, if you call a contractor and he says, I'm going to start on Monday, doesn't show up until Wednesday, you know, that's ma'isim chayyim. That's what happens. Or he shows up on Monday, leaves his tools, and disappears for a week. Anyone in the industry knows this is what everyone does. You're not going to be able to say a breach of contract. On the other hand, if you call a taxi to show up on Monday, and he shows up on Wednesday to bring you to the airport, that's obviously a breach of contract. So you're going to have to look at each job. You know, the classic problem is when you call a taxi and he's 5 minutes late. Can you now call another taxi? All right, when he's 10 minutes late, about 50. At what point do you draw the line? And it's very subjective. You have to use your judgment. You know, you can't sit there by the clock when it's, you know, a minute late, just call the next person. It has to be a reasonable amount of time. For Yekis, it's different.
Yekis. I call a taxi. I'll tell the person I expect you there at this time. Otherwise, I'm calling.
Okay. If you tell them in advance, and these are the terms, and they agree, then no problem. At 10:01, I mean seconds, not a minute, you can call that. But whatever you make up is great. But the problem is, if you're not so formal, and you don't make up exactly what to do, then you have to figure out when did he breach the contract and when not. And by cobbling, the default is if there's no time frame that was given, we're not so quick to say it's a breach. So obviously it'll depend on the case. You'll have to use your judgment, but you know, you shouldn't be so quick just to go ahead and move on.
I think about it, besides the breaching the budget, you cannot recoup any of those lost time. That doesn't go to the judgment, right?
Okay, what do you mean by lost time?
Meaning he said he finished half the job, so he wants four. Now you go ahead and find out another contract, it's six, so you'll want him two. But the fact is, he lost 2 weeks. So you find two contracts, you can build another job. He found it. It's not just 2 plus 6, it's also the fact that you're down for a month. So let's say you're finishing an apartment, so now you lost 1 month's rent. What about that?
Okay, good. That's a good point. And it's what we're until now, we have not discussed when you're causing a financial loss. Our case rule, I want to get the job done. That's my agenda here. And whether my house is painted beautifully or not, not any richer or poorer, depending on how well painted my house is. The moment you're causing a hefsin moment, that's called a davar avud, that we're going to get to later. And that you're going to have to deal with when you are responsible, when you're not responsible. You know, in general, if quitting will cause a loss, both a poil and both a kalvin is not allowed to back out. It could be in some cases, according to some shittas at least, you can even force him to work. If Bezin was around, they take a whip and force him to show up because you're causing damage. Again, that's a separate shmuz. And if you don't work, what we're going to see is there's halach of sechel leimay matan. What you're allowed to do is you're allowed to hire, pay other workers a premium to get it done on time and send a bill to the original workers. But we'll get to that. That's the end of the brisa. That's going to be a whole separate discussion when you're causing a financial loss. What we're talking with now is not any financial loss. It's a question of how I just want to get the job done. If you want to get the job done, a worker is allowed to quit, and it's just a question of if he's a poil, he will get paid based on the hours that he did. If he's a contractor, now the brisa says we have to figure out how much it'll cost you to complete the job. Now, a case where this happens, where it's, you know, where he gets into a little bit of, usually it's a bit of a nasty fight, is when a contractor gets into a fight with a client in the middle, and they're fighting like cats and dogs, and ultimately he just walks off the job. Or maybe even he's fired. Then at the end, he wants to get paid. So now what will happen is like this. If you had the right to fire him, if he was pesheya, he was negligent, he did everything wrong, you had the right to fire him. You had the right to fire him. How much do you pay him? So you pay him, basically it'll be other, it'll, you, you, it will have to figure out how much it'll cost you to complete the job, which means you're not going to pay him very much. Because if you hire another contractor to step in his shoes, it's going to end up, he's in charge of fortune. Because no contractor wants to start take over a job in the middle. When they do take over, they usually walk in, oh, this isn't right, and that isn't right, and this isn't up to code, and they end up redoing half the stuff anyway. So you'll end up paying almost the full amount to the second contract. You'll pay him almost nothing. So it'll come out that what's it gonna, what the halacha will depend on, it's going to depend on, do you have the halachic right to fire him in the first place? If you got into a fight with him, you don't like his personality, and you come down tough on him, and you get rid of him, but in halacha, you don't have the right to do that, then you're the one that backed out. If you're the one that backed out, if he did half the job, he's entitled to half the pay.
That itself is always a contention.
So over here, it'll be a crucial question of, did you have the right to fire him or not? Because if you had the right to fire him, then he's going to end up getting paid almost nothing. If you didn't have the right to fire him, then he has a claim for basically for the full salary minus Kar Batala. So it'll be a huge amount. And all too often, by the time they come to Beis Din, the new contractor came, ripped up everything that the first one did, the evidence is gone, it's destroyed, and now you have to sit there and figure out whether the job was so, at that point, was so substandard that he had the right to fire him. And it's a very difficult thing to tell you.
The advice for the contractor who gets fired is to take pictures before you get fired.
Exactly. Make sure you have pictures and make sure it's clear. The first advice is do good work. But if there's any issue and you see where things are heading, you should have as well as you could, you documented the work that you did and the fact that it was up to par, and that way at the end of the day when you get fired and the person claims it was no good and therefore I don't have to pay you, you can establish the work was good and therefore your fighting was shloi kedin and you're entitled to the full salary.
The contractor walked out just because the guy was a pain. He was coming in and saying, I'm like this, what are you doing this way?
Right.
And the guy walked out because he couldn't deal with it. Who does that consider whose fault was that? Who backed out of the deal?
So, under normal circumstances, the fact that you have a difficult client is not a reason to back out of a contract. You have a contract, and as everyone knows, there are some clients are wonderful and smooth. Other clients are the clients you'd love to lose. But unless they're doing something crazy and making it impossible for you to work, you know, a deal's a deal, a contract's a contract, and it's hard to walk out or breach a contract simply because you don't like the person's personality. Obviously, there are limits to everything. At some point, if the person literally doesn't let you work, you know, at some point, he's being closer because he's not letting you do your job, but it has to be pretty extreme to justify walking out. So anyway, the point of Rav Dosa is when you're dealing with a contractor, we will look at how much it will cost to complete the job, and if the person quits in the middle, we will deduct from his pay whatever it will cost to finish the job. But Medivan, we were in this whole discussion we had until now, is Medavar Shein Avud. There's no loss if the guy walks off the job. You know what? Your house is halfway painted. You'll find someone else to paint it. It'll take you an extra week, an extra month. No one's losing any money. No one's losing any sleep. You'll get it done later. So if that's the case, that loch is here. What?
Is all Rav Dosis from Medivan?
No. This is back. This is back to the hang out. This is the Kuleyama. Avu Medavar Avud. If walking out is causing a loss, the halacha is you do not have the right to leave. Whether you're a worker, whether you're a poyel or a kavlin, you're locked into the job. This pasuk of avodayhem that you can't be slaves, that doesn't apply if you're causing a loss. If walking off the job will cause damage, you have to stay. And the halacha is if you quit anyway, the halacha is seicher aleihem oimatun. You're allowed to either seicher aleihem, you're allowed to hire other workers, pay them a premium, and that extra you can bill to the first workers. Or matzon. What you do is you fool them. The workers are supposed to get paid $1,000 to do the job. They quit in the middle. You tell them, listen, you know what? If I find someone else, I'm going to end up paying the arm and a leg. I'm going to end up paying $1,500 to get the job done. Finish the job, I'll give you $1,500. All right, for $1,500, I'll do the job.
They went on strike.
Comes back. He finishes the job. When he's complete, he comes and wants to get paid. So halacha is you can tell him nothing doing. You had no right to quit. Since you had no right to quit, it was mutter for me to promise you higher wages, and I don't have to pay you. Because you had a chiyuv to do it for the original $1,000, all I have to do is pay you the $1,000. Even if the worker takes the money in advance, he went to the shir, you offer more, he says, I don't trust you, I want cash up front. The halacha is, after he finishes the job, you hold him in front of a Beis Din, and you can force him to give back the extra money. It was extortion. He didn't have the right to quit. And therefore, it's mutter to be matim, it's mutter to fool him, to trick him, to promise him more, and then, at the end of the day, to say, I'm not giving it to you.
So unions against a Jewish employer may be very...
there are many, many tshuvas about unions. And that's something, strikes and unions. Interestingly enough, that all the tshuvas for some reason seem to be written about yeshivas. Rebbeim going on strike, teachers going on strike. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
And it was a Jewish company, not from.
Right. So, it's a whole shavuos. We'll get to it in the shir, you know, all the way at the end. I mean, not today. It's down, you know. When one of them starts falling asleep one day, I'll throw it in. But there are a few factors. The unions have a few different factors. The first question is that you're making an assumption. This halacha is it's a davar or avar. I hired someone to do a job. My accountant quits on April 15th. There I can force him to do it. I can either hire someone else and send the bill to the first, and pay him more and send the bill to the first worker, or I can fool him to work. A union that goes on strike, where it's not causing a loss, won't have this halacha. So it all depends. If you're going to shut down, you know, you're shutting down the transmission plant, and after 3 weeks, the whole company is frozen because they have no transmission. Every factory is all over the world. They just have to stop because they don't have transmission to put in the cars. That's clearly a davar avar. So in most cases, it will be a davar avar because that's why you go on strike. If it's not a davar avar, they have no leverage. It's a davar avar. What you're going to have to deal with there is there may be a minhag. Maybe a minhag, there may be a law, and it could be understood that when there's a union, they have certain rights, and we have to deal with what?
Yeah, I mean, they do have certain rights.
Right. So there we have to balance their rights or the law against being mazik someone else against the halach. And that's where the whole discussion is. Right, exactly. So that way. So let me ask you a question. You're marrying off your daughter, chasana, middle of the chasana, it's a beautiful chasana, labor to chasana. In the middle of the second dance, the music stops, and the band leader says, listen, it says, I learned the part, let it quit whenever he wants. Are you losing any money? You're saving money, no? You're paying less. So the year is, what's that look? Alright, so the year is, you send him home early. So the halacha is, and it's clear if you look at the Mishnah, davar avar does not have to be a financial loss. Anytime you hire someone to accomplish something, and that has to be accomplished, it's either now or never. You can't play music at the wedding tomorrow. It's too late. You got to do it now, and if you don't do it now, the opportunity is lost. That will be considered a davar avar. So we don't always have to look at financial matters. We can also look at what I hired you to accomplish can't be accomplished any other time or any other way. Now, if you hire someone to paint your house, if you're making a bar mitzvah next week, and the idea is you want it painted before the guests come, that will be a davar avar. Yes, he has to know it, and more than that, there's a tshuva from the Sheva Kohen that he's dealing with a case. You hired someone, a captain of a ship, hired someone to on the ship, and he was a hired hand. Hired hands are a dime a dozen, not a big deal. They're very expendable. Then in the middle of the ocean, there's a major storm comes up, and now suddenly it becomes a davar avar. Now every hand is valuable. He decides he's going to quit. So the Sheva Kohen says, it's a chiddush, but he says, since at the time that you hired him, it wasn't a davar avar, then even though later on now something changed, he's still allowed to walk off. Now obviously it depends on the case. When you hire a band leader, even though time you hired him, it wasn't davar avar. You hired him 3 weeks before, 3 months before the chasana. It wasn't davar avar. But it was understood that when you show up during the day, during the chasana, it is then a davar avar. So if you hire a sailor and everyone knows there are storms and there are storms, at that point everyone's valuable, then I don't think Sheva Kohen would tell you. But if you have a run-of-the-mill employee and suddenly there's some unanticipated crisis, you can't, it's not his problem. He never bound himself or committed himself to that extent, and he'd still be able to walk off the job. So clearly you wouldn't have to tell him. And if you have a chal, you know, if you want him to paint it before the bar mitzvah, you have to tell him when the deadline is. And then if he misses the deadline, it's he breached the contract and
Sakhalay my master. The guy's got a problem. Let's just say you contract him to paint the thing within six months and his daughter gets engaged 2 weeks later, the chassis is 2 weeks.
That's not his problem. He said he'll do it in 6 months, and you know, if your daughter getting a mazel tov, you want to get him, try to get him to work. You know, good luck. But contractually, it's not his. It's not his problem. The fact that you happen to have something changed, you know, Baruch Hashem. But it's not his problem. Okay, now let's just we're running out of time. Let's just go to the Sma in the Maram Koymos. Now the Sma is going back to the first halacha that if you fire someone, you hire him, and you fire him before he begins the job, before there's any kinyan. The halacha is you have the right to fire him, he has the right to quit, but you have tarumas. Complaints. You have tainus. He can have tainus on you. You can have tainus on him. No one can. It's not nothing that a bezin will do. But it means you did something wrong, and you owe him an apology. You have to mefayis him. Now everyone here should be jumping up and down, yelling and screaming. Why? Because we spend a couple of months learning halachos and mechusar amonu. If I tell you I'm going to buy something and then I change my mind, what's halacha? It's mechusar amonu. In rochem neichimenu. So what happened to that halacha? How come over here we're discussing this new concept of tarumos? You can be upset at me. It should be asur. It's mechusar amonu. So zakhdu sma. This is the first sma in Simchin Lamed Gimel. Lashon atur. Whoever wants to back out, he has permission. Everyone, since there's no contract, there's no kinyan, anyone can walk away. And the Baal Habayis, the Baal Habayis can tell the worker, go find yourself another job. The worker can tell the Baal Habayis, go fire another worker. No one has any monetary claim. They can each just say, find another worker, find another job. Whoever backs out, you can have tarumas on him. Because now there's a bother. Now I have to go find another worker. Since I have to go find another worker, that tircha, that bother, is enough to give me tarumas. So the Sma wrote the Drisha, the Prisha, and the Sma. So he says he wrote in the Prisha. The Lashon is you have permission to back out. It's Mashma, you don't even have Mechusar Amonu. Question is, why not? You made a commitment to do a job. You made a commitment to hire him. If you back out, there should be Mechusar Amonu.
Is this Poel or a Kappa or both?
At this point, it's both. It won't make a difference.
Before you start, Poel is basically an ending.
That we'll get to, but the Poel we're telling him before, he didn't start the job. So I said I'm going to show up on Monday and work for you, and I don't show up. So I backed out of my commitment. If I show up and I do the job,
it's just for a time certain.
Right, exactly. That's the simplest case. We'll deal, you know, this year we'll get to it. You bring up a good point. We'll get to it in this year a little bit more. We learned by mechusar amana. Let's say I say I'm gonna take a mortgage from you. The rate is you know 3.5%. The next day, the shire changes, and now mortgages are available for 3%. The price went down, so that was trade. And we learned that according to some poskim, by trade tari, when the price changes, I'm allowed to back out. Chusar amana is, I made a commitment to buy it at this price, and if I back out, I'm a chusar amana. But if something changed and I back out, that's not aser, that I have the right to do. Zoktisna. When you hire a worker, even though now the price changed, and even though now the same job, you can hire someone for less money, the price changed. So when we deal with chusar amana, there's a heter because the price changed. For a worker, that's not going to help. And this concept of tarumos, that he's allowed to be upset at you, applies even though the price dropped. So the price changing is a reason to back out of your word when you told me about buying and selling something. When we're dealing with hiring a worker and dealing with question of tarumos, you're locked in even though the price changed. The reason why the case where of tarumos is the price changed, still is no more, even though there's no mechusar amana, there still is tarumos. Now let's just jump down to the Aruch HaShulchan on the bottom of the page. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Mihu. im habal habayis loy hutzuch lemalacha isem is mashin is chadish achakach basakla. Let's say something happens and now the employer does not need the worker anymore. This is a very common case. You hire a contractor, you need someone to do a rush job to paint your house before the bar mitzvah. You call him up, he says, no problem, I'll come down tomorrow. That night you're talking to your neighbor, you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, I was scrambling for a painter, I finally found someone, and you'd say his name, and your neighbor says, oh, you want to, you know why he's the only one that's available to do it? Because no one else would hire him. He does a lousy job, come over to my house, I'll show you what kind of work he does. And you see that it's true, and he doesn't do the job right. There the Sma says, even tarumas you're not going to have. Because if something like this, which is something with a major change, you won't have tarumas. So it comes out there are three levels. If you back out for no reason, then according to everyone, whether it's dealing with workers or dealing with Mechachumem, it's us. Mechus Ramon. Right. If there is a reason, if the price changes, by Mechachumem, it was a Machlokes. There are many places when there are Mechel. By Poyolim, it's going to be Aser, it's still going to be Tarumos, even though the price changed, and you can get a better deal. Not Mechus Ramon, exactly. I mean, that's totally not Machlokes. So there will be Tarumos, not Mechus Ramon. If there's a huge change, if you find out the workers aren't good, there the Aruch HaShulchan, and so he says a similar word, says there would not even be Tarumos. There will be Mutzul Lechachil to back out, because, again, such a change wasn't anticipated, and you won't even have Tarumos. Okay, that is that halacha. Let's now.
You hire someone to paint your house because you had a wedding, and then the wedding fell through. There's no wedding.
Okay, that we're gonna have to get the Aruch HaShulchan would apply, and at least before he started the job, you'd be able to back out, and there would be no mechus ramon or no tarumas. Once he starts the job, it's a great idea. Once he starts the job, once he's going to cause a loss, or there's a kinyan, then halachas will be different. There is a concept of oinus, but that we're going to get to down the line, a couple of shiurim later.
You know,
I just have some water, please. I'm going to stop here. I just have to.